Thank you, Brother Donnie, for all those kind words. Thank all y'all for your love that y'all shown to me for 40-something years. Thank God it's all because of the love of God. Isn't it? Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. What a Savior. What a Savior. And I begin to read Romans 8:28, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. This whole chapter won't take time, but if you have, I want to say to you, read it before the day is over. Such a blessing. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hallelujah. To them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. It might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and them He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, then He also glorified. He always finishes His work, don't He? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to notice, that's the one question. Who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered up for us all. How? Shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Another question. Is God that justifieth? Verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? Another question. Is Christ that dieth? Yea, rather that rose again. And even the right hand of God who maketh intercession for us. Another question. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can be more than conquerors. It's always through Him. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor any angels, or principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. From the love of God. As it says, for neither height, nor depth, nor any other creatures, it says, be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Now you look at all this passage of Scripture, talks about the Spirit. This is what getting out of the law and getting into the Spirit realm. Hallelujah. And He talks about here that one of the first things He said, I know that all things, not some of them, not part of them, not a little bit of them, but all things work together. They may not feel good. They may not look good. But I'm telling you, God's a sovereign God. And He said all things are working together for good to them that love God. You know what? Only that love God, but those that have been called. You know what? God called us into His purpose. When God called us, He had a plan for us and a plan for you. He called us on purpose and for a purpose. And we ought to find out what that purpose is and fulfill it for the glory of God. Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you, it's time as a Christian and believers as a church that we can rejoice, because it's nothing. I want to look at these four questions here just a moment. And He said, first thing, I said a while ago, He finishes what He starts. He said, what should we say to these things if God be for us? Now notice this question, who can be against us? If God is for you, it don't make no difference who's coming against you. A lot of time people will get no pity party sometimes, and we'll say, oh listen, you don't know what I'm going through with, you don't know what I'm facing, you don't know who all's against me. But I want to tell you something, it don't make no difference. He said, who can be against you? I want to tell you, absolutely nobody. Yeah. can be against you. Because why? Because God is for you. No match for the devil. No match for the devil. Nowhere, not anyone has got any match can anywhere for the devil. I'm telling you, God's a man of war. Who can whip him? They can nobody have anything. Listen, who can be against us? Absolutely. Nobody. Not even, listen, what good is it? You say, well, you don't know what the devil can do. I want to tell you something. He can't get past the blood. He can't get past. I'm going to tell you, God said them that he called. Listen, God's called us for something. And God's ordained us. And you look at that verse of scripture, he predestinated us to be conformed into the image of his son. And I'm going to tell you, he said he'd be justified. Then he'd be justified. What did he say? He said he called. Also justified, to be justified, he glorified. And this just as sure as I've been justified, he sanctified me. Now glory to God. And one day I'll be glorified. Whew. And we want to sit around and say, oh, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. We can. I can. By the grace of God. Boy, these preachers are good encouragement, aren't they? Y'all about to set me on fire up here. Hey, we need to be burning for God, don't we? But he said, I'm going. He said, if God's for us, nobody can be against us. You can't name one. They may make it out, they are, they may try it, and they may come against us. But I'm going to tell you something, God's for us. Yeah. You know what? I'm so glad he is. I'm no, tell you something, he's not against us. He's for us. And then notice quickly what the second thing. I want you to notice verse 32, if God spared not his son. Boy, when I saw that verse years ago, I thought about but living it up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? You see, if he withheld, if he didn't withhold his son, listen, what? Listen, his only begotten son, why would he withhold anything else? He can with him give us freely all things. Don't cost us. We can't pay for him. We can't work for him. But he freely, freely gives us all things. With Christ. Everything we have or get or receive is always in him, for him, by him. Thank God. Hallelujah. And therefore he spared not his only son. There's probably some of you, listen, that's giving a child up or giving a son or a daughter up. Listen, and if you're willing to do that, these other things, what else? You said, would you mind giving up a calf or a cow? Would you mind giving up a house or land? No, sir. If you listen, what? Nothing to that would compare. Listen to the price that you gave when you gave your son or daughter. Only he gave his son, and with him, that's why we got everything else we got in the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice what he said in verse 33 as we move on. Who, another question, shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Listen, no charge. Somebody's time when they get arrested, they say, what's the charges? Well, you know what? When the Holy Ghost rested me, I had plenty of charges on me. But when I come to Christ, see, when the Holy Ghost rested me, and listen, he took me to Christ, and I bowed before him, listen, I'm telling you, I don't have no charges against me no more. Thank God there's no charge. Gone. devil may come try to charge you for some of the past. I like what that old preacher is preaching when he said he took our sins and cast them in the depths of the sea. What, you know, the Bible talks about God never to remember them no more. He said, listen, he put up a no fishing sign. Said, can't go fishing. You know, a lot of people want to go back and fish up old past and old back. No, sir. Listen, there's no charge. I don't know about you, but I'm going to lay down and sleep at night and go, breathe. Why? How come I can rest in peace? Because I know that I don't have any charge against me no more. They're gone. No. You know why? It's God that justifies. God took my sins and declared them. And he declared me just as I never had sinned. I don't know about you, but thank God that was a peace that passeth all understanding. Hallelujah. Justified us. It's God through Christ that justifies us. And therefore, nobody can lay anything to my charge. They're gone. Oh, sometimes people will bring some of it up. Devil and people, they'll try to, you know, remember this, remember that. I can remember, but God, they gone. God don't remember them no more. Thank God he's let me forget a lot of them, hadn't he? Thank God for that. So who's he that condemneth? God's elect. You see? And it says, who is he that said, who shall anything to the charge of God's elect? Aren't you glad you're part of God's elect? Woo! Elected us, called us, chose us, foreordained us. I could keep naming them all through the Bible. Now, if you'll be honest, I'm just slowing down a minute. If you'll be honest, and I'll be honest, we'd be honest ourselves, we'd say, we was hunting God. He's one who's drawing us. Wasn't that right? That's right. And so thank God for that. It's God's elect. And God does justify. Look at verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? Another question. Who's he that condemneth? Well, a lot of people may get in that business, but they can't really do it. This chapter starts off with, never, you know what it starts off, don't you? 8:1. There is therefore now no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not out of the flesh, but out of the Spirit. There's no more, now no more condemnation. And so he says, who is he that condemneth? And here's something in this verse right here I want us to see. Number one reason is who they condemn it. Listen, it's Christ. Look what he said. It's Christ that died. Somebody want to condemn me? You didn't die for me. You didn't die for yourself. Christ died. If there's anybody going to do any condemning, he's the only one that can do it. Christ died. Who's he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea. Not only did he die, but he's risen again. He's alive. So the first thing is, he died. He's the one that died for our sins. He's the one that paid the price. And God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. He raised him from the dead. If he hadn't got out that grave, thank God we'd still be dead in our trespasses and sins. But thank God he's risen. He's alive. It's Christ that died, and it's Christ that's risen. Notice what else he said. He's at the, and is even at the right hand of God. You know where he is now? He's sitting at the right hand of God. Oh, he's the one. You know, A lot of times the old devil, he'll come by and try to condemn you, make you feel condemned. And no. But I want to tell you something. Study these scriptures and see and realize Christ is the only one that can do it. He's one with outstretched arms to pardon. And he says something, risen again. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And that's not all. He's making intercession for us. Did you know that Jesus Christ himself is at the presence of the Father in the there in heaven itself? The Bible says a high priest is sitting at the hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us. And the Holy Ghost is here. This is the Spirit of God making utterance. We don't know how to pray. We listen by the Spirit making intercession for us with groanings. It cannot be uttered. I want to tell you something. With Jesus at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, and the Holy Spirit of God here praying through us and praying for us, we can get in contact with the Father. Hallelujah. We can. The Spirit himself. You know, there's another verse in this scripture over here. If I can find it, well, I believe it's, yeah. Verse number 15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, wherein we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know how you know you're a child of God? The Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit that we want to be young'uns. If you don't know, you can know. I tell you, I don't just believe in the hope so salvation. I believe in the know so. But the scripture teaches that. And the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I like, while I'm here, look at that. Listen, verse number 17. It says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Oh, if we're children, if one of his young ones, we're an heir. Hallelujah. Did you know we've got an inheritance? It's incorruptible, defiled, faded, not away, reserved in heaven for us. And we'll heir. Listen, everybody's wondering about what the heirs are going to leave them on this life. You better be worried what, if you got any heir in the kingdom of God. He said, and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. Huh? That's good. I mean, thank God. And you know what? He's got plenty to share. Plenty. That's why he said, we join ours with Christ. So it be that we suffer with him, that we also be glorified together. Don't worry about sufferings we had to go through in this life. It's nothing to compare with the glory that shall be revealed to us over there. That's what he said. He said, I reckon, verse 18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Where? In us. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful place God got prepared for us. Heaven's real. Preached another day at a funeral. That's one of the points I use a little bit. Why I'm looking forward to go there. One reason. Well, Paul said it's far better. Amen. He says it's gain. And one reason I'm looking forward when we get there is because it's a place that's real. Real. And you know what else it is? It's a place of reunion. Whew. Glory to God. You think them old saints is going on? Oh, glory to God when they were going to get back with them. Hallelujah. Heaven's a real place, full of glory and full of grace. Ain't nothing to compare with it. Oh, Paul, he compares it to another place. He said, this old light, these old afflictions, these old light afflictions, but for a moment. Compared to the eternal weight of glory. He's talking about the sufferings of this life. He said, just but for a moment. I'm telling you, swiftly life passes away. I was telling someone the other day, every time you hit a new number, whether it be 40, 50, 60, or 70, it gets going faster. But I'm telling you, whatever you go through in this life, it's going to be absolutely compared to nothing. It's going to be light compared to the eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. And last thing he says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Another question. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I want to thank God for his love. What is some of those things he talks about? He says, who separates from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. No, sir. How about distress? See plenty of that. Probably some of us experienced some of it. Most of us have. That don't separate us from the love. Just remember, if you're going through tribulation, you're going through distress or persecution, God still loves you. Hallelujah. He still loves you. It may seem silent sometime. You may not feel like you're getting an answer from him. But he's still there. And he still loves you. He said, did famine do it? No. Nakedness? You may not have enough clothes to put on your back. You may not have enough food to sustain you hardly. God still loves you. Or pearl or sword. You may suffer a martyr's death. Don't mean God don't love you. He allowed his son to go to Calvary. It's not always a bed of roses. He says, it's written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We need to die daily. We counted as sleep for the slaughter. He said in verse 37, they in all these things we are more than conquerors. Yeah. Hallelujah! You still can be a conqueror. You still can be a victorious one. It's all how. Look what he said. Through him that loved us. When I know that he loves us. If you know you got a loved one that loves you, you can go through anything in the world. If you love them and they love you, you can go through anything in the world for them. A little girl come over here this morning and told me, thank you for going and seeing her stepdaddy in the hospital. You know what? You know what God does? He loves you. He loves you where you're sitting here this morning. He loves you when you get home. He loves you if you be on the sick bed. He still loves you. And he says, I'm persuaded. Paul had a persuading. He also was persuaded that God would keep all things that he committed to him. He was persuaded about a lot of things, but he was persuaded that neither death, faith and persuasion that death wouldn't separate him from the love of God. I'm so glad, glory to God, because if Jesus tarries, we too will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But His love will never forsake us. His love will never cease. He'll always love us. Can't separate us from His love. You want to see some of the love of the Father shown to us in the prodigal son? He went away and wasted all his inheritance on righteous living. Yeah, got in the hog pen. Sure did. But you know what? I can see that old father back home. You know what? When he saw him coming that day, he didn't run the other way. Glory. Hallelujah. He ran toward him and he kissed him and he hugged him and he welcomed him home. You know why? He loved him. That ain't all. They put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him. And listen, they had a feast. Of course, it sort of aggravated his other son that stayed home. He was that one that, I guess he was just religious, wasn't he? You got some people get all sour up, all nose turned up about this and that and other. They just got religion. That's all they got. They got no love of God flowing in their hearts. I want to tell you something. When the love of God gets shed abroad in your hearts, you got the love of Christ loving through you and through me. The love of God. Hallelujah. And you'll tell you what, when somebody gets into the family of God, you won't turn and run the other way. You'll be like the Father. You'll be rejoicing with Him. When one gets out of the hog pen and comes to the Lord, that same love He had toward us, we'll have toward them. Hallelujah. And so He said, death not going to separate us from the love of God. He'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what He said in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me, the rod and the staff. They comfort me. He won't, listen, forsake us. He won't forsake us neither. He among our enemies, He'll prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies. Our God's a God of all grace and mercy. He's a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. That's my Lord. And He can't separate us from His love. Love goes a long way. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is stronger than even death. He says, so death can't separate us from the love of God. Matter of fact, we're going to just go right on in the basin and more of it. The love into His very presence. The love of God. Then He says, neither nor life. Woo, that's where we are now. We hadn't walked through the valley of the shadow of death yet. You know, we always say, and I've always thought, well, when the Lord come, we don't know how to go through death. But you know what? It's been over 100 years ago, Brother Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers probably in a long time. He said, I read one time where he said, if I had my rethers, and he got them. You remember that? If I had my rethers, I'd rather walk through that valley of the shadow of death and fellowship with the Lord there. Woo! Hey! And we want to run from it. No, if Jesus comes, that's a wonderful thing. We'll go through the air and be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But if He starts to take us through the walk through the valley of the shadow of death, His love will be there with us. Thank God, but unto then, we need it in this life. I'm telling you, God will give us divine grace when the time comes. But I'm going to tell you, he said his love wouldn't even separate us. He said we wouldn't be separated from his love even in life. Nothing in this life, living this life, no matter where or what, we love, God loves us. Hey, you know how what God does, him he loves? He'll even chasten us. Won't he? Even in this life. Was it hard for you to use your youngin' if mama and daddy told you they was paddling you or spanking you? It was hurting them? Oh, yeah. And they doing it because they loved you. You didn't believe it was hurting them more than it was you. You didn't believe it because they loved you, did you? I didn't either. But you know what? I found that to be true. That's true. Why is God chasing us? Why does he discipline us? The Bible says that there's two things. One of them said that we might be partakers of his holiness. And the other thing he said was we might not be condemned with the world. I'm telling you, we're living in a world young has been almost turned completely loose to raise theirself. No discipline, won't let them do it in the schools. And I'm telling you, we've reaping the results of it now. I'm telling you, that's true. But thank God, whatever may I go through in this life, won't separate us from the love of God. Trials, troubles, tribulation, none of it. Then it said, even angels. Got to be them wicked ones, ain't it? Fallen ones. They can't separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Principalities, that's some other power. And powers. They may have a lot of power, but they don't have all power. Amen. Christ is still in rule and controlling. It says, nor things present. About to wind up here. Things present. What you going through with now? No preacher told, but old Brother Jesse Norris, be a fact, was told my wife years ago. She's asking him, I'm a long time ago, about what about death? He said, well, it's dying grace when time comes. We said, what you need now is living grace. And that's so true. I've seen dying grace in many of a believer. And it will come. But this passage of scripture is telling us, whatever present thing that you may be going through with now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to by the scripture assure you, that God's love, you won't be separated from his love. That's a wonderful comfort. That's wonderful hope. The love of God. You say, well, I don't have that child to love anymore. I don't have that spouse to love anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, God's there still to love you. I don't have him to love me no more. I don't have him to care for me no more. God loves you. He will. Even in this life, things present, whatever right now you're going through with or facing, God's love is how we are. Always remember that. You say, I don't have a lot of people that loves me. Well, number one's God. He uses people to love us. And I thank God for everyone that does. I want to say, we love every one of you in the Lord. Appreciate every one of you. And thank God for this present hour we're living in. We've never lived in one like this. Never seen one like it. Scripture's been fulfilled. It's very close, I believe, to the end of this dispensation. I believe that with all my heart. We're living in a falling away period. But we don't have to fall away with him. Let's stand strong for the Lord. Nor things present, nor things what? To come. Whatever may come in the days ahead, if Jesus tarries, none of these things going to separate us from the love of God. Well, you know what I'm glad of? Someone said, well, I got to hold his hand. No, I'm in his hand. Amen. You don't believe it? Read John 10. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Folks ain't following God, they're not his sheep. Folks don't know, listen, don't know his voice. And listen, you know, they don't know the Lord. And that over there, I was talking about that spirit a while ago. The Bible said, he that have not the spirit of Christ. Look what it said. Verse number 9 of that chapter I was reading. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's not his. See, when we get born again, the Spirit of God comes in to live. We've got a new birth. We're born the first time of the flesh. Whilst people just flesh with no spirit, got to get the spirit in there first. Then as a war goes on, I agree with that, between the flesh and the spirit. But thank God we still can be more than conquerors. So that nothing that's ahead of us, nothing that we may face, is going to separate us from the love of God. So you don't have to worry about the things present. You don't have to worry about the things past. And you don't have to worry about the things in the future. The things to come. Because his love is always going to be there with us. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read this. Nor height, no matter how high you've gotten, no matter how high you may be feeling, whatever it may be, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, thank God you ought to be separated from the love of God. No matter how deep in the valley you may, what mountain you on, what valley you're going through, nor depth, nor any creature. Ain't nothing that's been created, nothing that ever will be created, that can separate the love of God from you. Hallelujah. Here it is. Shall be able to separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's my Jesus. That's my word. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Well, you know what that makes me want to do? When I think about the love of God, it makes me want to love him more. I want to love him more. I love him because he first loved me. No way I can love him as much as he loves me. But I want to thank God. I can feel some of that love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And I want to respond back to him with loving him. Because he first loved me. Now I want to ask you a question this morning as we stand to sing. Do you love him? Tell you something. He loves you. You said, how do you know? He said, God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoso believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. You hear that? But that the world through him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, that men came and that light come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Neither would they come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But I want to tell you something. You better come to the light. Don't keep walking in darkness. Because one day, light will be shown on you. It'll be too late then. That darkness will be revealed. Thank God for the light. It's what we're going to sing. Brother Ricky's coming. Come on, Brother Ricky, lead us in a song. Thank you, brother. I hope it did.